107 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings, Wednesday style. Glad to have you along. And yesterday in Washington, it was an open door, closed door discussion. President Trump, incoming gavel, giant gavel holder, Nancy Pelosi, and Minority Leader Chuck Schumer. We're hashing things out here.
You know what I'll say? Yes. If we don't get what we want, one way or the other, whether it's through you, through a military, through anything you want to call, I will shut down the government.
Okay, absolutely. Fair enough.
And I am proud, and I'll tell you what.
We disagree.
I am proud to shut down the government for border security, Chuck.
I'm glad to have my friend Jeff Poor on to talk more about this. Jeff with Lanyap and Breitbart, Yellowhammer News. And your take on what you wrote in an email to all of us as peak political theater. I could not agree more.
Yeah, it was all on display. It was like an old episode of Crossfire in the late 90s.
You
didn't know what to make of it because everybody's kind of talking over everybody, and it was just kind of chaotic. But, I mean, like, you talk to a lot of Trump supporters, and you hear from them, it's kind of mixed. They like that Trump's kind of showing some stripes and kind of going hard after it, but in the meantime, there are a lot of people saying, how does this get us that border wall? And, you know, the border wall, you may or may not disagree or, you know, think it's effective or whatever. But the point is, I think it's a big symbol of the Trump presidency, and whether or not the wall happens, I think it's a marker. And, you know, people are going to judge Trump whether he gets this wall or not. So the Democrats, I think, are going to do everything they can to oppose it.
And, yeah, I want to kind of flesh that out. First of all, on the political theater, I think I was responding to a tweet from Kelly yesterday and just said that's why Trump won. I think that kind of rhetoric, whether it ends up bearing any fruit or not, that is what charges up a lot of, obviously, Trump supporters, and people came out and voted for him in 2016. But, you know, Trump acolytes now love that. So it does well with the base. What does it do for the, you know, the 7 or 8 people in this country that are not decided on who they support? I'm not exactly sure. But in the past, Jeff, is it not true that if you look at this, no matter who starts the shutdown, however it worked, Republicans end up being Charlie Brown trying to kick the football. The Democrats are Lucy, take the ball and go. I mean, every time the Republicans get pie on their face on this. So
yeah,
what's the lose?
That, I think, is what's kind of wearing thin with a lot of Trump's base, that, hey, you promised us this, you promised us that. And it's not just the border wall. It's the Planned Parenthood funding. It's all these things he said on the campaign trail. And, I mean, I'll be the first to tell you, I always thought Trump was way over-promising.
Right, we talked about that. We talked about that before. We said he's promising a bunch of things that aren't the president can't just make that happen.
Right, and he overpromised, but I mean, that's what you do to win presidential elections. Those are like what Al Davis says, just win, baby, win. That seemed to be the name of the game in 2016. I think now it's very problematic for the president, especially given the makeup of Congress. I don't think it would have been as problematic had the Republicans not just had 2 years of controlling both chambers of Congress and nothing happening. And, you know, to me, I think to a lot of Republicans, it looked like Trump was willing to kind of give Paul Ryan space, probably too much space, to try to figure some of these things out. So here we are 2 years later, and you had this kind of go down yesterday. I think I think Democrats liked it. I think Democrats like Nancy Pelosi, and it kind of solidifies her as the speaker. But I do wonder how Republicans react to it. And my takeaway is kind of a mixed bag right now.
And I would just add that there's no question to me as to why candidate Trump became President Trump. Your reaction to my tweet was, I said it was surreal. Mm-hmm. From both sides.
To it's see political that, theater.
To see that in the Oval Office, you know, I think I called it Oval Office Octagon because I was thinking UFC. And then and Vice President Pence just sitting there in the middle of it, so awkward, so uncomfortable. I wanted to go save him. I did. I wanted to throw up a parachute or something.
That was very strange. Him just kind of sitting there, not really participating. I mean, I don't know what you do.
What in Pence's personality would he? Pence is like in that scene. He was in a situation where you go to your extended family's Thanksgiving, and they're all really used to acting like that. But you might have come up in a house that's different, and you're sitting there going uncomfortable.
See, I saw a lot of memes that say like when you have divorced families.
I guess at best he could have played kind of mediator there and kind of been, all right, guys, let's back up or whatever, but he just kind of let Trump run with it.
See, I thought with it being the Christmas holiday season that he was just an elf on the shelf. That's what I thought, they had an elf on the shelf between them.
It was, and then you've seen different screen grabs of it. His eyes are closed in one of the pictures while they're just going at it. I mean, you see hands up in the air from three people, and he's just like just praying it's over soon. That was painful to watch. I mean, I know it's political theater. That was painful. Both sides should have to go to timeout for that.
I think so. I think if we get away from the base, and if we're in the middle of an election season, and it's just people just kind of getting back engaged in this, and they're not really, you know, hypersensitive, and it's not as, you know, it's just your average person. They see that and they're like, what the heck, guys? You know, like, we pay your salary, and you get a lot of indignation from that.
You're right, though. Yeah, there'd be, you know, those seven or eight people that are undecided would have probably reacted that way. Also, you note here the reapportionment blues, and I don't know if that's the name of a live Grateful Dead album or not. What's a reapportionment blues?
So, one of this big spending bill that they're negotiating, that was, you know, everybody's kind of focused on the border wall. There are a lot of other little pieces at play here. One of the big pieces I think that really impacts the state of Alabama is Democrats want to include on the spending bill language that would not allow the census, or not allow the Commerce Department to put the question about citizenship on the census for 2019, because you know, it's a 2020 census, but they have to start getting ready next year because they had to print all these forms, hire people, and do all these things. So statutorily, Democrats don't want, when they take the census, don't want the question on there, are, you know, what's your citizenship status on the census. Now, that's problematic for Alabama because given there's a Supreme, ideally the Supreme Court's going to rule on this and decide whether you count illegal immigrants or not in the census. If they do rule that you cannot count illegal immigrants because they're not citizens and they shouldn't get, you know, basis for congressional seats and electoral college votes, then how will that census tell us one way or another who's here legally and who's here illegally? So when they divide up the seats for reapportionment, there's a good chance Alabama's going to lose a congressional seat because the other states are counting illegal immigrants, and there's far more illegal immigrants in, like, California and places like that than there are in Alabama. So we could go from 7 to 6 seats.
You know, we've been talking about this for a while. I mean, maybe over a year or more. And, of course, the state of Alabama, you know, going through with that lawsuit and that process there, along with states that would be losers. I think Alabama, Ohio, Montana, but just in name only, because I don't think they can lose one more. But we're losers in this, and then those seats, you know, that representation was being picked up in places like California and Texas. So people understand what we're talking about. We have the 7 congressional districts, but if this happens, we will have 6. So not only do we have less representation, we have to go through the process of redrawing the districts here in the state of Alabama. That's a big deal.
Redrawing the districts, you stand any chance of having a member versus member election in 2022 when the lines are redrawn? You have a lot of things that could happen. And right now, Congressman Mo Brooks up in North Alabama and Steve Marshall, Attorney General of Alabama, have a lawsuit against the federal government. Now, the federal government's kind of shown its hand a little bit. The Department of Justice wants the lawsuit dismissed, which tells us they're going to fight the state of Alabama on the citizenship question. They're going to argue that Alabama doesn't have standing in this, you know, to file this lawsuit. So if this is the Trump Justice Department saying they don't want to fight the citizenship question, I don't know, but I do think early on the big deal is if they are able to get this question taken off the census through this budgetary process. And the interesting part of it is Richard Shelby is the chief negotiator in the Senate, and he's the senior senator from the state of Alabama. So could he let, would he let something like that get by? Would he let a question on the census get by and get signed into law by Trump?
Coming right back. But can you hang out with us for a little bit?
Absolutely.
All right. We're coming right back. More with Jeff Poore, and we got a lot more questions here. I mean, I want to go back to the shutdown thing and the odds of that happening. And also, I'd love to hear from you in the second half of the hour, because I've got enough emails from y'all that I don't think shutdown means much to you. Some of y'all are calling for the shutdown. And, you know, I will say, let's point out facts about shutdown. It ends up costing us more money as a country, which is a pain, but the federal workers that get, you know, laid off, so to speak, during that period of time in history have always gotten their money. So just want to point that out. So I would call that kind of Christmas vacation, right? Day 22, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings on this Wednesday. Glad you are along. Good to talk to our buddy Jeff Poore. Heads up, you know, a lot of times I'm telling you, hey, it's you know, countdown to Christmas here. You got to get your Christmas shopping done. By the way, I think we're, 2 weeks out today? How about having a little extra cash in Santa's account? And how about doing that as a reward for your good credit? That's what's happening with the folks at Lightstream with their credit card consolidation loans. Lightstream believes people like you, people with good credit, deserve a great interest rate. You can get a credit card consolidation loan with rates as low as 6.14% APR with AutoPay, which you think about the national credit card average rate, 19%, 6.14% today with Lightstream. Plus, your rate is fixed, so as rates continue to rise, your rate won't budge. You get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000, and you can even get your money as soon as the day you apply. Application 100% online, and there are no fees. This holiday season, you can save even more with an additional interest rate discount. Now, the only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Sullivan, my last name. Their website, lightstream.com. Remember, /Sullivan. Subject to credit approval, rate includes a 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Sullivan for more information. All right, return to our conversation with Jeff Poore, with Lanyap, Breitbart, Yellowhammer News, and on the road again. The politicians talk about visiting all 67 counties of the state of Alabama, but just in a half a year's time, I think you've visited more than any of them that were out on the campaign trail.
I definitely hit all 67 and took a picture of every courthouse to prove it. So I've, you know, multiple times I've hit all 67 counties, I think. There's a couple of those I've only been to one time, but most of them at least two times this year.
Talk to us about, let's go back to the initial story here and the hubbub yesterday, as Kelly called it, the octagon, the Oval Office octagon. But this is on this idea of a shutdown. And just gauge this for me. You think this is going to happen, or this is just a bluster right now?
I mean, the Republicans got to get a deal, because whatever deal they get right now is going to be far better than what Democrats will pass when the new Congress is sworn in. So, you know, I can't see a shutdown. If Trump shuts down the government over the border wall, then he's definitely not going to get it in the next Congress, right?
Right.
Why would he think? So he's got to kind of settle for what the best he can get. Now, what the best he can get is, how far will he push it? And, you know, how much do Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell want to toy with the idea of a border wall, you know, like holding back on Trump's border wall? And you know, it's kind of like the devil you know and the devil you don't know. How much do they want to hold back? And, you know, how many arms do they need to twist to get this done? I fully anticipate that we'll get a deal. We may have a government shutdown, maybe for a few hours or something like that. It'll be very short-lived, I think. But at best, I do think something gets done sooner than later.
I want to talk about there's some of the discussion, and by the way, I think a lot of that political theater yesterday was for Republicans to listen to the president and, you know, light a fire under tails here in the lame duck session. But if Democrats are contending that there's not the money, right, that, first of all, I'm rolling my eyes that anybody in Congress is going to be, except for about seven or eight of them, is going to be fiscally prudent, okay? That's number one, eye roll. Number two, the Democrats are worried about how much money they're spending, eye roll. So it's about, I mean, it's on the idealism of a border wall. I mean, to the point, I think Brendan Kirby said yesterday on the air with us, I think it was a good point, if Mexico somehow came in right now and said, we are going to give you all the money to build the wall. I know this stuff's not happening, y'all. I'm just saying, for we will give you all the money, 100% of the money to build the wall. The Democrats wouldn't say, okay, then it's okay. I mean, it's not about money. It has nothing to do with the spending.
No, it's not. It's ideological in that they don't believe in border walls all of a sudden. I think this was kind of a new thing from the last 5-6 years.
Mm-hmm.
But secondly, it's symbolic. They don't want Trump to have this notch in his belt.
Oh, it's his hood ornament, yeah.
Yeah, they don't want that at any cost. It's kind of like they're going to oppose it the way they oppose the Kavanaugh appointment. So, and this is going to be a lot harder for Trump to overcome. It's not about the spending. $10 billion is a rounding error in a farm bill, guys. So,
don't get me started on the farm bill.
Well, they did have a consensus yesterday. They did agree on the word border security. When President Trump said, see, we're all on the same side. there was a moment.
A nebulous term, right?
Right.
We don't have a definition. Is it just drones flying over the border?
Right.
And I think that maybe Democrats wouldn't mind seeing, a little bit better border security politically. Mm-hmm. But I think the wall itself as a physical object is something that they don't want Trump, a legacy item like that hanging there for Trump. And that's just, they're going to oppose it no matter what. They see this as very critical heading into 2020.
Yeah, and that's why I think I agree with you completely that 2020 is at play here. You're looking at the pouring the foundation for what happens in 2020. And I think the Democrats can work off this where they said, okay, the $1.3 billion or whatever, that's fine. So if I'm a Democrat who's campaigning trying to get swing voters, I'm going to say, we worked with the president.
Mm-hmm.
We agreed to funding some of this. We just weren't out of control with this. We believe in security for the American people. Look what we agreed to do. I mean, Jeff, it's a bit, like you said, a rounding error, a bit of a verbal conceit, but I think, it'll be used in 2020.
Yeah, and it's going to be like, well, he promised that, he didn't do this. Mm-hmm. I think that's what they want. That's the trap they're laying for Trump, and if he gets his border wall, then they don't have that card to play on him.
Jeff, did you see the presser outside with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, and she said that she prayed. She told the president that she would pray for him. Did you see that?
That was nice of her, right?
Right. Well, here's one part I did like. I like that they were trying to be kind and say, hey, let's not have this discussion in front of the press. Let's work
yeah,
out
but
our...
She
different.
Said,
But then they kept going at it.
Okay, she said... I got to take a second here, Jeff, and I'm going to run out of all Jeff's time. But to Pelosi saying that we wanted to have a closed-door meeting so we could tell him how wrong he was on his facts. When she has an open presser to say that that's what she did behind closed doors, you can't have your cake and eat it, too.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Give me a break.
Yeah, but this is why Nancy Pelosi's Nancy Pelosi. She's going to be the next House Speaker again because she does stuff like this. She knows what she's doing.
Absolutely.
I think she's probably—she might be the savviest person in Washington, D.C., mm-hmm. knowing how the game is played.
Yeah, and she's going to I wonder if she's going to have an even bigger gavel when she comes in January. Remember the big gavel from before? I wonder if she'll have a gigantic high striker gavel from out at the fair.
I mean, she calls herself the master legislator. I think that's an appropriate term.
All right.
Everybody drew a line in the sand yesterday. It's all I'm saying. That everyone had something to say. And they all need to sit it down.
Those three. You talk about a reality
hold hands.
Show
they
in the
can
making.
Do the pilgrim thing that you're.
We put them on the love seat together, make them
yes.
hold hands. For sure. Jeff, if people want to kind of reach out to you online, how do they do it?
It's twitter.com/Jeff_Poor.
Of course, you'll be able to check out. Give us a little preview, Beltway Beat this week.
Yeah, Beltway Beat kind of goes into the idea of what reapportionment and Shelby's role and all these things with this lawsuit. And, we got till December 21st with the government shutdown. Will Shelby allow a ban on a citizenship question in the census or not in the spending bill?
All right, y'all check that out in the new Lanyap this week, Beltway Beat, with our buddy Jeff Poor. Thank you, man. 8:30, coming right back. We'll check in with Dr. Bill for our forecast news update, and then your phone calls and text 343-0106. Speaking of shutdown and getting along or not getting along, we can talk Mobile City Council and Mayor Stimson administration about the same way.
All right, 8:36 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Right now, it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, Dalton. What's up, buddy?
Not much. Just trying to finish up some of my Christmas shopping. And I know I'm not alone. Lots of people out there looking for gifts. Great place to head is McConnell Automotive, especially if you're looking for a new truck. That new Sierra looks great.
Man, it is beautiful. And, Dalton, people that have just shopped the Chevrolet are kind of blown away at seven advantages the GMC has, which is one of them is that multi-lift tailgate, and you can almost cook your breakfast on it. But it's something people have to check out. But Dalton, speaking of Christmas presents, this sale that we have at McConnell is probably the funnest one we've had all year because the discounts are ridiculous. So I just want to invite people, call us or go to our website, McConnellAutomotive.com. And Dalton, the 18 truck is an example of over $12,500 MSRP discount. So this real discount. And you can buy a lot of Christmas presents with saving that kind of money. And if you've been in the market for a truck, I think the main thing we're telling everybody, Dalton, is don't wait until January, because these incredible discounts on the Yukons, the Sierras, Acadias, Terrains, all the GMCs out there. And definitely if you're in the truck market for a Ford, Dodge, anything like that, a Chevy, check this GMC Sierra out before you buy anything.
Yeah, you certainly have some great deals on the McConnell lot. We appreciate it, Mitch. Have a good one.
Y'all have a great day, Dalton.
All right, that's Mitch McConnell. Go see him at McConnell Automotive or go to McConnellAutomotive.com. You'll find McConnell on Dolphin Street just east of I-65.
All right, a couple things to bounce around here. Number one, reminder, getting the waning days of the nomination process for Alabamian of the Year. And so here's how it works. Unlike Time Magazine, that is somewhere in some smoke-filled room with a 40-watt light bulb hanging from the ceiling where they make their decision for person of the year. We let y'all take part in this process. We were transparent before transparent was cool.
That's right.
I mean, we use the glass cleaner with the newspaper to clean that window. That's
like, like Saran Wrap.
Very
transparent.
Yes, yeah. I mean, way transparent. So totally. So transparent that we don't do any of the heavy lift. Y'all do. Actually, Dalton does the heavy lift building the brackets, which is kind of a pain. But so y'all do the nominations. You text us at 343-0106. Or you send a, and by the way, when you text us with your Alabamian of the Year nomination, just put Alabamian of the Year or something, helps us find those through. We get a gazillion texts, which we love. Keep them up. But it helps us pick them out of the other text. Also, the Twitter feed at FM Talk 106.5. That's me, but it's the station as well. You can hashtag Alabamian of the Year, which would be fancy, or if you can just put on there Alabamian of the Year, or at Dalton Norwig, or at
Kelly K2K Finley.
And then we'll all, because like we all, like our family work in a small place, we'll get the information to the other one. But just make a note. Don't just put a name up there because we may not know what you mean. Put Alabama in the year or something. Or you can go to the Facebook page where we have a pinned status, right?
That's right. It's at the very top of our Facebook page. If you want to just leave a comment under that with your nomination. We already have some really, I mean, this is going to be so, so tough to figure out because there's been so many heartwarming stories in Alabama. A few sad stories this year.
Yeah, because I want to make sure people know before you get it, because there's some real positive things here.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the positivity, but Alabamian of the Year, like we ripped off from Time's Person of the Year, does not have to be good. It has to be that person, that event, that group, that critter that most affected the state of Alabama's news cycle in 2018.
So they don't have to be born here?
No. Nope. It just whatever. It could be, you know, somebody from wherever.
Hawaii, but
somebody from maybe the island of Oahu that has most, you know, influenced the news cycle, the stories of Alabama. So it's the end result, not where they're from.
Right. And okay, we have some great nominees, but we need more. We need to make this a great competition. So I know there's some that you're thinking of out there that we've completely missed because 12 months of the news cycle, mm-hmm, it's tough to keep up with that. But we've already got some really good nominations, and we will take any that you have. Please leave them for us on one of those sites that that Sean mentioned.
All right, and the way it works, then once all the nominees are in, Dalton, with his prowess there with the website, will build the brackets, and it's completely, that's also completely ripped off from
March Madness.
Yeah, March Madness. And so we will have we'll see the brackets, and then you'll vote each week, and we'll just work the list down.
That's right.
Till we arrive at Alabama of the Year, and then we'll probably be talking about that either the last week of this month between Christmas and New Year's, or probably the Wednesday after New Year's. We'll talk about it. All right. Phone calls and text at 343-0106, 343-0106. Also want to point out, too, a headline here. Where was it now? I've lost it. Where Nancy Pelosi said she acted as the bomb. So I guess if she was acting as the bomb in the situation yesterday, that means that the boys were the children.
I was trying to figure that out, that dynamic.
So, if losses, but I will find. Oh, here it is. Yeah. So, the headline here: Nancy Pelosi mocks Trump's manhood. That's part of it, and said she tried to be the mom. So I guess she's the mom, and then you have Trump and what's his name, Schumer, are the children, and she's regulating. And what is Pence at that point?
Elf on the Shelf, I'm telling you. He looked like the elf on the shelf there in the room.
It was it was like watching a bad car accident. I mean, you couldn't look away from
great
what
political
happened.
Theater, though.
Oh,
great,
my
great
goodness.
Political theater.
And they kept saying, you know what, let's not talk about this here in front of the press. Let's not roll this out in front of the press. And everybody kept talking. Like, if you really want them to leave, you know how to put on the tone to make people leave the room quickly.
Oh, you hear it when they're done with the presser.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody out.
Yep.
Everybody out.
But nobody ever listened. And if you watch President Trump enough, you know not to look away, because even though the handlers say everybody out, he gives the best quotes.
Yeah, right there.
Right after that. Because he kept talking. I mean, and everybody just kept going.
If you didn't hear it yesterday, this is what we're talking about.
You know what I'll say? Yes. If we don't get what we want, one way or the other, whether it's through you, through a military, through anything you want to call, I will shut down the government.
Okay, absolutely. Fair enough.
And I am proud, and I'll tell you what.
We disagree.
I am proud to shut down the government for border security, Chuck, because the people of this country don't want criminals and people that have lots of problems and drugs pouring into our country. So I will take the mantle. I will be the one to shut it down. I'm not going to blame you for it.
There you go. Go to the phones now. And first up, Fireball is in Mobile. Hey, Fireball.
Y'all are doing a fantastic job as always. But let me. It's a double standard. And I got 2 points to make. If she's the mom, then somebody needs to call DHR.
Well, I was thinking in my mind when I thought mom. I have the clip up here, but I have not scanned the scene. The no wire hangers scene from Mommy Dearest. Does she curse? I'll have to play that after the break, but that's what I was thinking.
My next point is, Cohen, whatever his name is, Trump's lawyer that's being prosecuted right now for lying to Congress, and I can give you a for instance. Well, how come Congress ain't prosecuted for lying to the citizens of the United States?
Because legally they can. I've talked about that for years. So you can't lie to Congress, but they can lie to you.
Yeah, and for instance, when they borrowed money from the Social Security, borrowed it. They didn't borrow it. They stole it.
They reapportioned it. They
no intentions of paying that back.
What is the thing they what is the term? Everybody they
reapportioned it,
but not
right.
But there's the retasked or something like that. They had better uses for it. Fireball, why do you come on? That's not. Just quit crying about your money, man. They needed it somewhere else.
Well, I'm going to come in another 8 months. I'm going to have a better use for it than they are.
That's right. I hear you. That story, and I appreciate the call. That story, they're like the big stories, and that's where I go off on these rants when I said political theater and all how rarely we discuss the actual policy, and we end up, Pelosi bad, Trump bad, all these people. It's a question of personalities and cults of personality versus discussing the actual issues. I think a lot of times that has been happening because the political differences have been fairly minute on a lot of things between the parties, so it would be a lot easier to demagogue the human beings and make either somebody is the devil or somebody is a saint in these things versus talking about the actual policy. And you know what? They're right, because that works a lot better. That gets people out to the polls. The kind of nerdy, wonky stuff that I'm talking about, would you'd have like a 7% turnout. So I get why they do it. But this is things like Social Security and the future of that, the debt. These things are, we talk about them, but they come up and they go away. All the other things dominate the cycle, but the things that may be the biggest roadblocks, headwinds to our republic going forward, those seem to be, don't worry about that. We're going to tell you more why. It's not about this policy. It's that person's bad or that other person's bad.
But this is the time, you know, where people go digging for old tweets and digging for old interviews and he said, she said, and that was, the meat of the meat and potatoes of yesterday of this border wall, because at one time Mexico was going to pay for the border wall, right?
And at one time, Democrats were supporting border security and building fences.
Right, and so then the only piece of peace of mind of yesterday's Octagon fiasco was when President Trump said, look, we all agree, because they said the word border security. And then it was back to the, but you said Mexico was going to pay for it. Well, I'll tell you what, Mexico, whoever doesn't pay for it, the shutdown's going to happen. I mean, it was back and forth.
But don't you think that's an interesting question? You mentioned Mexico. We're going to run to the break, but we'll come back and talk about this. That Brendan brought up yesterday. Let's say that for some reason, don't tell me, can't just in my play my game okay. here for a second. We get a gigantic check from Mexico,
like the big publishers clearing
right.
house.
There's
check.
Ed McMahon on your front porch with a big check to pay for the entirety of the border wall. Democrats, don't worry, no American tax dollars will go into this. Do Democrats agree or oppose the border wall?
How could you not support that?
Just watch. All right, 851 FM Talk 106.5. And I didn't get a chance during the news break there to clear the audio from Mommy Dearest. So I don't dare. I've known, I guess, I'm sage enough after three plus decades in this business not to roll that audio to him. I screen it.
Not worth it.
Now, there's national hosts that don't know better, but...
as long as you're not reading a quote that has a bad word in it and read all the way through.
Yes, like national hosts have done.
Right.
Here we go. To the phones. And David in Mobile up first.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing this morning?
Hi,
all right.
David.
Good.
Washington wasn't the only political circus that was going on yesterday either. That was the Mobile City Council, of course, that I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. My comments to the council about the fact that the mayor hasn't signed the budget yet led to about a 30-minute to an hour discussion about the whole budgetary process. Sean, did you get a chance to follow that yesterday on the YouTube?
I did not. I heard some of the clips, and I watched the tweets coming out from the meeting, but I did not. You know, I've often suggested that usually Mobile City Council meetings, if you have problems with sleeping, don't take the over-the-counter or doctor-prescribed sleep aid. Just listen to the Mobile City Council meeting, and you'll be snoring in no time. But I did see, at least from the tweets yesterday, it looked to be fairly active and contentious in this question, like you brought up the other day, if the mayor had signed the budget or not. And then what? Who was saying? Was it LaVon Manzi saying that was the city running illegally right now because there's not a signed budget or something? What was the outcome of that?
Basically, the Cliff Notes version is that the Ricardo Woods, the city attorney, is speaking for the mayor, confirmed that the mayor has not signed the budget yet, but that we are supposedly, according to Mr. Woods, operating under the 2018-19 fiscal year budget. And there was some question from Ms. Cochran, the council's attorney, as if that was illegal or not because the mayor has not signed the budget. Now, Mr. Woods claimed that the reason why the mayor hasn't signed the budget yet is because there's some anomalies and some discrepancies and some grammatical errors that need to be corrected first.
Well, Lord knows if grammatical errors shut things down, then all the TV news sites would have to shut down. But the anomaly, it was like $4,000 missing from one of the performance contracts or something like that?
Exactly. And Mr. Paul Wesch, the city finance director, came in during the middle of this discussion.
Yes.
And said there was about a 3,000 to 4,000 discrepancy in one of the amendments that the council made to the mayor's budget during the budget process, and that was the only discrepancy that he knew of that was holding things up.
Okay, so can we get an answer on that? Did they offer any kind of answer? Like, I know in the world of government, 3,000 or 4,000 is not a big deal, but like, you know, to a hayseed like me, that's real money.
The Vice President Manzi was supposed to write a letter yesterday to the mayor and to the council attorney asking for clarification on that. There was some discussion about getting the council finance committee involved in the discussions to clear up to clear it up, but that, none of the discussion really answered my concern, which was that according to the Zogby Act, my reading of the Zogby Act, that the mayor has 10 days to either sign the budget or common vernacular veto the budget and send it back to the council, which he has yet to do either. And it's been two, three months since they've passed the budget?
September 26th, I think, something like that.
So around 2 months. A little over 2 months. The mayor's been sitting on the budget. He hasn't signed it. He hasn't vetoed it. And supposedly it's over these discrepancies and these anomalies that needed to be fixed first. But that doesn't... I still question, is that even legal to hold up signing or vetoing it because of those anomalies?
Well, maybe they get this worked out on the retreat, you know, during the three-legged race or doing s'mores or, you know, guitar campfire songs or something like that. They can get this worked out.
Well, I actually agree with Vice President Councilman Manzi when he said that hopefully sweet tea will make it all better, because we all know sweet tea makes everything in the world better.
Except for your blood sugar. But yes, you're right. I do enjoy the sweet tea. I'm going to refer to him, just to annoy people, President of the City Council. Manzi.
Do you think on the retreat they'll do campfire stories with a flashlight in front of their face and tell some city council horror stories?
Lord knows, just ripped from today's headlines. Here, this is what they should have been addressing. This is serious news. I saw Dale Leisha's story over at Lanyap about, I guess this was published late last week, was it? The confusion over which Sisters of Sister Sledge would headline Moonpire for Mobile. I love this story because it goes back to so many touring bands. I'm going to get myself in trouble. Oh, well, won't be the first time. So many touring bands that come through, they have some people that were in the band. Mm-hmm. Like with the roadie that was there, you know, his purchased the rights to the name or something. It says, in Dale's story, despite confusion over which sisters would make up the group that comes to Mobile, representatives for Sister Sledge, lead singer Kathy Sledge, confirmed in an email that she has the rights to the name and is the real deal. I love it when you get these stories of bands break up and they all fight for who owns the name of the band.
Oh boy.
A legal document sent via email confirms she owns the trademark to the name, despite the earlier correspondent from representatives claiming her sisters Kim and Debbie Sledge were the official band. So I guess going on right now, and this is reality show in the making, Kathy Sledge is touring as Sister Sledge, but Kim and Debbie Sledge say they're the official Sister Sledge band. The official Sister Sledge featuring Debbie and Kim Sledge, plus the band, are performing in Florida on New Year's Eve, it says in that email. Sam Harvey wrote the email. Perhaps Kathy Sledge and the band are performing in Alabama. So there's a battle between the Sisters Sledge of who actually gets the name Sister Sledge. It was previously announced by Councilman Fred Richardson that a planned headliner had dropped out at the last minute. During the city council meeting, Richardson had said organizers had signed someone even better. So there you go. But can we call them Sisters? I guess I'm going to stick with it until I get a cease and desist going Kathy Sledge, Sister Sledge. So we'll keep. This is what they should be dealing with at the council. This is the hard-hitting stuff.
And then break out in song.
Be a plus. Be better. Yeah. All right. Laura Ingram's all the way next. We'll see y'all tomorrow morning, and I'll see y'all at noon.
K.